Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Psalm 119. We'll continue our study through the book of Psalm 119, reading verses 17 through 32 here this morning. The psalmist here in this passage, he's praying a prayer. He's reaching out to God, looking for help and assistance in living for Christ, for living for God. His prayer is that God's word would be the focus of his life as he understands his own place before God. We could summarize these two stanzas here in Psalm 119 with a few questions. One of those questions could be, where do I belong? Have you ever felt out of place? Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? A few years ago on our college campus here at Casper College, we had a student who came by our outreach table and through this outreach thing got to visiting with her. And she says, I feel like I am all alone. And I asked her, I said, well, where do you live? She said, I have no friends. I said, where do you live? She said, I live in the dorms. And I said, yet you're all alone. This young lady is in the dorms with people all around her. This young lady is in classes with people all the time. And yet she felt like she didn't belong. She was out of place. She was all alone. Second question we can look at here today is who am I? Have you ever wrestled with this question of discovery and struggled with your identity and who you are? When I was in college, I had a girl who was in my class with me, and she was, before most people were tattooed and ear pierced, she was full of piercings and full of tattoos. And I got to know this young lady, and I asked her one day, I said, so why did you choose to do this? And she says, well, I want people to notice me. I just don't want people to talk to me. Because if people talk to me, she says, they're going to ask me about myself, and I really have no idea who I am. And so I don't know how to answer their questions, and so I want to make sure that I'm noticed, but I don't want to be talked to. That was really interesting as I had that conversation with her. And then the last question we see through these stanzas is, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Does my life even matter? And I've had many church people over the years come and talk about their purpose. You know, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? What do I offer? And I've had people ask me the question, if I wasn't a part of this church, would anybody even notice if I was gone? What is my purpose? And so we see these questions, and the answers to these questions really lie in the Word of God. And so today, as we look through Psalm 119, and as we continue the study through 119, hopefully we can understand how God views us and who we are before Him. So let's read together Psalm 119, verses 17 through 32. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may give and live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, for I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. In verse 17, the psalmist says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may keep your word. In other words, the psalmist here is saying, God, give me the ability to live and keep your word. He has a desire to obey God's word. He has a desire to live for God, but he's struggling in living out what he knows to be true. And so he's asking God, help me, mature me to a place that I can live this life that you have for me. Have you ever felt defeated because you were trying to live for God and you were failing? You were doing things and you were trying your best, but you felt like it wasn't enough and you continued to feel like you were failing. Well, let me give you some comfort. You're not alone. There are many of us in our Christian lives at some point as you live for God, we feel like that we're failing. We feel like we're not doing it. And let me give you some insight. You have no ability on your own to live for God. You cannot do it all by yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much effort you put into it, if you're relying on your own effort, you will not make it. You need to come to a point in your life that you realize that in order to walk with Jesus, you pursue a relationship with him and get to know him, and you cannot do this on your own. So how do we do it? Well, the psalmist here says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Do you believe this morning that God has wonderful things for you? Do you believe that God has wonderful things that he will reveal to you through his word? See, because if we do not believe this, if we do not believe this to be true, you will continue to struggle. I will continue to struggle if we do not believe that God has wonderful things for us. And so the psalmist says to open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see these wonderful things that you have for me. Open our eyes. That's a way of saying, help me to gain understanding. Open my eyes so that I can understand. Sometimes we use that phrase, open your eyes, as a negative way. You might tell somebody, you know, if you're really going to take that job, you better make sure that you have your eyes open before you go in there. Maybe you have a young man or a young lady who's looking at dating somebody, and you know that, and maybe that'd be a good thing, you say, if you're going to pursue them, you better have your eyes wide open. And we use them in that way, or maybe we use them in some positive ways, like the first time I went to Yellowstone. And I said, man, going to Yellowstone really opened my eyes to the amazing beauty of God's creation. Can imagine what the first settlers that walked across Yellowstone, what they thought when they saw this bubbling, boiling mud and water shooting out of the ground and their experiences in that. It opened my eyes to God's amazing creation. That first mission trip that I went on and my first overseas mission trip, you see, that trip opened my eyes to God's work around our world in ways that I'd never seen. That idea of opening eyes. So the psalmist here, he says, I want my eyes open so that I can behold and I can understand the wonderful things from God's law. So this idea of understanding, it's a process. It comes as we experience life, but sadly, not all want understanding. Not all want their eyes open to see God's wonderful things. Some would rather go through life with their eyes closed and they never experience what they could if they had their eyes open. That person that goes to that job with their eyes closed and then they realize, and maybe I shouldn't have taken that job. Or they get in that relationship and they had their eyes closed and they realize that was not good for me. And I'll never understand why somebody would say, you know, I went to Yellowstone and it wasn't that great. It wasn't that impressive. And I've had people say it to me, and I'm like, okay, your eyes must be closed, because how could you not see that? And there are those who go through life and never put themselves out, allow God to open their eyes to experience ministry, to do missions, to do ministry, and see what God is doing and see how they can participate. And they go through life with their eyes closed. See, opening our eyes means that we're going to see what is true. And then when you see something that is true, then you have to respond to that truth. And you have to live according to that truth. So this requires us to gain knowledge, knowing what's contained in God's word, seeing the wonderful things in God's word, gaining that knowledge, and then gaining some wisdom as we apply the things that we know to be true. And then we gain experiences as we live out this knowledge that we know to be true in this wisdom as we experience it. And we see God working in our lives in amazing ways. And then because we see God working in our lives, we want to get more. We want to see more of what God's doing. So we study more and we continue to learn more because we want more of this relationship with God. And then we gather skills through this as we live how God would have us to live. In this process, these blessings, they come from God. And sometimes we struggle to see them. We struggle to see them because we're going through difficult things in life, and sometimes we get blinded. And the cry of the psalmist here, the cry of the psalmist says, even in this, help me see the wonderful things from your perspective. God, I don't want to see things from my perspective. Help me not to see things the way that I see them, but help me see things from your perspective as I serve you, regardless of what is happening to me. Has anyone ever felt uncomfortable in a strange place? Now, there are times when we struggle to find our place, and maybe we go through stages in our life where we're trying to discover who we are and find our place. In my life, I went through this, some of these times of discovery, these times where I was trying to figure out who I was. And when I was in high school, I went through this rap music phase, which is ridiculous because I hate rap music now. But I listened to it all the time. I loved it. And a couple friends of mine, we decided that we were going to go to a rap concert on the south side of Chicago, the new Regal Theater on Stony Island Avenue in the south side of Chicago, a place we probably should not have been. And we go to this concert and we show up there and we're sitting in the front row balcony and we quickly realized that we were a little bit out of place. We were so out of place that when KRS-One, who was the lead of Boogie Down Productions, which was who we went to see, got on stage and he says, you know, everybody in the audience go, ho, and these white boys in the balcony go, ho, and I'm like, that's us. He's talking to us because we were the only ones that were there. And this guy behind me taps me on the shoulder and says, you some crazy white people. I was out of place. The experience was good. I had a great night. I enjoyed being there. Nobody treated me badly. Things were okay. But I was out of place. It wasn't in my element. It wasn't where I belonged. And this is how I picture living in the world. See, hopefully we enjoy life. Hopefully life is good and hopefully we're treated okay. But in reality, if we live for Jesus, we really don't belong to this world. And we should notice that we don't belong. And so the psalmist here is asking the Lord to show him through his commandments where his place is in this world. How do we function in this world? And as we continue this study through Psalm 119, and really as we study God's word, we're going to continue to gain insight. And I find it comforting that this psalmist, as he writes this, he's going through the same struggles. I'm in this world. I'm living in this world. But I don't belong in this world. So God, open my eyes and help me understand. Help me understand that there is a place for me, even when it's difficult, even when I struggle. And where is our place? Our place is in the presence of God. Our place is in the presence of Jesus. If we follow him, we will always be strangers here, but we will know we belong because we belong to the King. Understanding who we belong, not to the world, but to God. And in this understanding, we see that sometimes things are difficult. Look again at verse 20 through 24. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servants meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So who am I? I am a child of God despite circumstances of life. See, if you really think you belong to this world, if you feel like you fit in at home in this world, then there's a pretty good chance that you are not where God wants you to be, that you're wandering from his commandments. But if you look around this world and you're struggling in this world and the sin of our world breaks your heart and you realize that this is not your identity and there's got to be something more than this, then you're probably looking at the right place. And the psalmist here, he says his soul is crushed with longing. And what is he longing for? Well, the arrogant here, they put their trust in themselves. They care about themselves, and they will never understand God's purpose. No matter how hard they try, they will live a life that is unfulfilled, and they will never find contentment living that way. He's longing for the truth of Jesus, living for the love of God. The psalmist is looking for this relationship, and he desires for identity with God, but there are those who wish to do him harm. Again, that verses 23 and 24, we see this in the face of this, or plots of his enemies. The psalmist remembers that he is a servant of the Lord. Even though the enemies are there to crush him, he belongs to God, and so he calmly meditates on the statutes of God. He delights in God's testimonies because he understands that they will bring him wise counsel. I think these verses uncover a real weakness in our Christian living, a weakness that may be the foundation of our Christian life. See, we do not think often enough. We don't think hard enough. We don't spend enough time carefully looking at God's Word. We don't reflect enough on God's Word. And we don't look at what God has told us to do in His Word enough. We don't look at His Word and see really what does this mean to apply to our life every day. About what it means to both believe this truth and apply this truth and practice this truth and live this truth. We don't do this enough. And as a result, the result is that we do not glory in the truth of Scripture. We don't glory in the truth, and then trials come. And trials come, and how do we deal with them? See, the Scriptures here in Psalm 119 tells us often that we need to meditate, and here meditate in the light on God's Word. What do you meditate on? What do you delight in? What is the narrative of your life? Where do you find your identity? For some of us, that's sports. That was me for a long time. Sports was my identity. It's what I meditated on. It's what I delighted in. It's what I spent much time on. Why do we do that? Why does it matter when your favorite team loses? Why does that matter? Why does it matter? It's just one game. Why does it bother us so much? It's just one season. The season that is there going to be more? Why does it bother you so much? I don't understand why it does, but it does. I had a friend in college, his name was Mike, and we were watching the NCAA basketball tournament together in a friend of mine's dorm room, and he was watching Duke play somebody, and Mike was a Duke fan. I have no idea why he was a Duke fan. I don't know why anybody would be a Duke fan, but especially living in Indiana. And they were a high seed, and they got upset in the tournament. They lost the game, and Mike gets up, and he kicks the trash can across the room, throws something down, goes out the door, slams the door, and goes back to his room. And so I waited about a half hour. And I called Mike, and I said, Mike, you doing all right? And he says, yeah, I'm fine. I said, well, really, I'm just calling to say, na-na-na-na-na, Duke lost. Slammed the phone down. This wasn't cell phone days, right? Because slamming a cell phone, that's a bad thing. Why does it matter so much? The reason it matters so much is because you spend way too much time thinking about it. I spent way too much thinking about it. It's because sometimes for some of us, we meditate on things like football and basketball and baseball. But that's not the only thing. I've run across people that they delight in the storylines of their favorite TV shows. Or their favorite reality TV shows, which is even a crazier thing. And you think about the characters and you think about their decisions. And when they do something that is you think they shouldn't do, you get upset at them. And you want to scream at the TV, why are you doing that? And then you talk about it. And I don't know, sometimes after one of those, like your Facebook or your social media feed, fill up with people talking about these crazy TV shows. And why do they care so much? Why do you invest so much in characters of people you don't know? It's because it's what you spend time doing. It's what you think about and what you meditate on. And there's those that do the same thing with video games. I get to that next level, finishing off something else, and you're meditating, you think about it, and you talk about those video games. What do we meditate on? What do we think about it? See, it is the nature of our sinfulness that we find ourselves inclined to think compulsively about things that don't really matter. And we don't spend enough time really thinking about things that do. And meditating and spending time in God's Word. Psalm 119 calls us to devote ourselves not merely to an academic study of the Bible, but a wholehearted, passionate pursuit of God. This means that we may have to change some things in our life. And this means that we have to really understand who our identity is in. And it has to be in Him. And we follow His leadership. Let's read together the last stanza here in this passage this morning, and starting in verse 25. My soul cleaves to dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my days, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So I'll meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false from me and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I place your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. What is my purpose? Your purpose in life is to follow God and pursue God in all that you do. And the psalmist here is asking for understanding and helping him do this. He is in a desperate state. He declares that he is so weak that he has collapsed into the dirt. And in this weakened state, he turns to God and he asks God for something that I'm not so sure that we think to ask God for. He asks God to revive him according to the word of God. When we are discouraged and we're in difficult circumstances, do we ask God to use his word to speak to us? See, we'll pray and we'll cry out to God and we'll ask God to give us an answer. But what we really want is we want God to speak to us verbally. God, if you can just tell me the answer, that would be so much easier. This whole idea of research and study and looking things up, God, that's way too hard. I'd rather you just tell me. And the psalmist here says that I'm finding the answers in the word of God. That when you're crying out, he reveals himself to you in his word. I can tell you a couple times in my life, this was me. There was a time when I was in college when I was beat. I was tired. I was frustrated. Just struggling. And I spent one night and I was up and I couldn't sleep and really kind of in a grumpy mood and put on a Christian tape. And when I was listening to that song, God just spoke to me and said, you know, Ed, you need to open up my word. And I opened up, and that night I read the entire book of Psalms that evening. I didn't sleep that night, but I was a different person because God opened up his word to me and revealed himself to me. And there was a time not that long ago, again, I was struggling, sleeping, not difficult things in my own life, but I was broken over some decisions, some people that my ministries were making, people that I loved and cared for, and that they were really doing some destructive things in their life, and I was struggling, and I couldn't sleep. And so I went downstairs and I started to turn the TV on because that's usually what you do when you can't sleep. And God said, turn that TV off and open up my word. And I sat there that night and I began to read and just love what God was saying in his word to me and giving me just some insight into what he was doing in the lives of people around me, opening up God's word. See, instead of trying to cope with things ourselves and manage things on our own and deal with our own worries, we need to cast all of our anxieties on him. Cast them before him. Why do we go to his word? Well, the word is really what we know about God. The truth about who God is in his word. What he expects is in his word, and how he wants us to act is in his word. And the psalmist here, he says, while he is in the dirt, he wants God to help him to understand his purpose, his precepts. Help me to meditate on your wonders. Help me to really know what you're doing in this time. If you want to hear God speak, don't wait for him to come have a burning bush. Don't wait for him to speak in a cloud. If you want to hear God speak, open up God's word and read his word, and you will hear him speak. And the psalmist, he recognizes his predisposition towards sin. And he is aware of those around him who are living in unrepentant sin. And he asks God, he says, keep me from living falsely. Help me to be open to your word. Help me cling to the testimonies and desires that you have for me. He treasures them. He clings to God's word. And he asks God, he says, do not let me be put to shame. Do not allow me to sin. Do not allow me to be defeated by the enemy. But God, give me victory. And God here today is offering you victory. Victory through his word. Run to his word. The psalmist says, I run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. What is your purpose? Your purpose is to run to Jesus. Your purpose is to passionately pursue Jesus, to obey what he has for us in his word, and to follow him with all of your heart. And if you do that, you will find your purpose in life, because all purpose comes in that relationship with God. You matter. God cares for you. Run to him. and to choose this path, to choose God's way to live in purpose requires some disciplined commitment from each of us. And so this morning, as we come to a time of close, I'm going to ask you to sincerely make some commitments in your own life. I want to ask you to really commit yourself to opening God's Word and reading it. We talk about this, sometimes we joke about this, but open God's Word and read it. And a great place to start is right here in Psalm 119. Do not let your pastors come to you over the next several weeks and tell you what Psalm 119 says. Read it for yourself. Spend time in it. You will get so much more out of this 30 minutes on a Sunday morning if you spend time in it on your own. Read God's Word. Commit to memorizing Scripture. As you're reading it, find a verse that speaks to your heart and put it to memory and treasure it in your heart. Meditate on it. Think about it. As you're driving your car, as you're going to work, as you're living life, spend time truly thinking about God's Word. Your mind goes a lot of places, and you think about a lot of things. Discipline ourselves to thinking about God's Word, and then commit to taking the Word, finding the application to our lives, and pursuing God through His Word. Would you commit to that with me here today? Consider what God may be saying to you. Consider what God may have for you. As we sit in a room like this, we are in different stages of life, and we're dealing with different things in our life. And some of us are struggling with some identity, and some of us may be struggling with some purpose, and some of us are struggling where we belong, and some of us are pretty content where we are. We're in different places. But no matter where you are, there is an answer to your questions, and it's here. Would you commit to discovering what God would have for you, regardless of where you are, and responding to Him?